First Timothy. Paul's epistle to Timothy, beginning with verse 1. The Lord has been highlighting the scriptures a little differently to my heart here recently. Begin with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Two things we're going to look at here. One has to do with the commandment of God, and then the fact that Jesus Christ is our hope. You could also say He is our expectation. What I'm feeling in this is that we need to understand that because we've repented of our past sins and have become Christians, it's not completed. That's not the fulfillment. It's nice to get saved, as we usually speak of it. But it's then that Jesus Christ becomes our expectation and our hope, which looks to something else. I don't know why the Christian world hasn't picked up on this more than it has, because all of Paul's writings speaks of that one and same thing, because it's the uppermost message that Paul had, that Christ was to come forth in us. Paul never once did he ever talk about accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and man, you're ready to go to heaven. You're in. Paul never gave any indication of that kind. Rather, he's always spoken that now we have the opportunity to really become sons of God, that we can become what God wants us to be, and that's important. But this scripture relates back to Colossians 1, where Paul is talking about the mystery. This is verses 26 and 27 of the first chapter of Colossians, and we've been over this many, many times. And it's a mystery that is hid from all who do not have insight into the mystery. But in verse 26, the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. And this is the reason that it's missed so much. It's hid from ages. It's hid from generations. In other words, it's hid from the timeline. It's hid from history. See, you only study the Bible in a historical way. You cannot find the mystery. It's hid from that realm. And the mystery is made manifest to His saints. Right, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory. See, there's a glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. In Scripture, Gentiles and nations. One and the same word, you see. This mystery among the nations, or among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's the mystery, Christ in you. Not Christ in the sky, not Christ in the future, not Christ apart from you, but it's the mystery is Christ in you, and that is the hope of glory. So when Paul is telling Timothy over here, and Jesus Christ, which is our hope, He is our expectation. Our hope and our expectation is for Him to come forth in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in this way, change comes. We're not changed because because we've been forgiven. We're changed when Jesus Christ, His life, comes forth within us. Now I want to get to this thing of the commandment, because the two work together. Paul said he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior. All right. Paul is not an apostle so he can walk around saying, I'm an apostle of God. He's an apostle for a purpose and for a reason. And Paul is not the reason, if you get what I'm saying. See, there's a hope and there's an anticipation. Something that is to come to pass. Something that is to be accomplished by the commandment of God. So God gives a commandment, making Paul an apostle, because there's something to be accomplished, you see. Then you get on down to verse 5. Now the end of the commandment. Now that word end, that's taken from the Greek word telos, which means the goal to aim at, the thing that's anticipated, the thing that is the hope. The end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. You see, there's the end. This is what's anticipated. The end, you could put the word fulfillment there. Here is the fulfillment. Here's what that commandment is to create and to bring about. This is the goal. Love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Repentance cannot bring that. We do not have that love out of a pure heart because we've been forgiven. The only way that it comes about is Christ comes forth in us. And He creates it within us. And this, now King James is really messes up this, because it doesn't have love, it has charity. But the Greek word is agape, which means God's love. Agape always has to do with divine love. So the end of the commandment, or the fulfillment of the commandment that God has given, is not any kind of love that would be inherent within man. It would not be any kind of love that could be generated or accomplished by man. It's God's love. You see, a divine love which can only come from Him. It's not inherent within us, and neither can it be generated. It cannot be disciplined, brought about any other way than through the commandment that God has given. It is accomplished. And verse 6 says, some, having swerved aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whatever they affirm. Now, in the next few verses, Paul begins to talk about the law. This is the opposite. What Paul is trying to get across to us is God gives a commandment, and the commandment is to produce something, and it can only be produced by Christ in us. So He is the hope of the anticipation of the fulfillment of God's purpose. But however, he says, there's a lot of teachers that get off course, and they get off course through the law. So beginning with verse 8, Paul says a lot in his epistles about the law. By the law we're not justified. But here he says in verse 8, the law is good if it is used lawfully. If it's used in a legal way, You see. And then he goes on to talk about the law. He says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. You see, now, the righteous man is that one that Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, enters into his life and begins to create what the commandment is to bring forth. Knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. The law, I don't know if you've thought about that in the past. The law is good if a man uses it lawfully. But it's not made for a righteous man. It's made for all these others. Now, if you're a murderer, then you need the law. If you're a liar, you need the law. If you're ungodly in any way, you need the law. Something to try to veer you back on path. You see, you need something like that to control you. But the righteous man doesn't need that. So let's see how this law is used legally, because Paul says it's good if a man use it lawfully. Now I'm going back here to Matthew 5:17. Now this is Jesus speaking here, and he says, "Do not think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Jesus says, I am not come to destroy the law. I have come to fulfill the law. In other words, the law cannot be fulfilled, have its proper work, its legality, you might say, except by Jesus Christ. It's impossible for any human being to live by the law and accomplish what God wants accomplished. You cannot be made holy through the law or through discipline or trying to maintain the law or to abide by it. But Jesus Christ, he says, "I have come to fulfill the law." So there's your hope and your anticipation. You're under the law realm until Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, comes forth within you and he fulfills the law. Paul says it again, basically the same thing in Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Christ is the end of the law, or the fulfillment, the fulfillment, same thing. Christ is the end of the law, or the fulfillment for righteousness to everyone that believes. You see, that gets back to, what is it, Genesis 15:4, trying to remember back. It was when it says that Abraham believed God and God counted it for righteousness. You cannot keep the law and become righteous. The law is not for a righteous man, meaning that the law cannot make you righteous. The law cannot make you holy. You try to live by the law, it just isn't going to work. What's the legal way, or the correct way? How can the law be good? It can be good when you allow Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, to come forth within you and fulfill the law. God gives a commandment, and the end of that commandment, or the fulfillment of that commandment, is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and unfeigned faith, unpretended. How often people get caught up in pretending they have faith, or trying to make themselves look like they have faith. There's no pretending for the one that does this thing legally. That there's a commandment is given. He understands that God has given this commandment, and that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that commandment. He is the hope and the anticipation of everything that God purposes in His people. The end of the commandment in verse 5, charity out of a pure heart. You cannot come into a pure heart trying to keep the law. Jesus Christ comes to fulfill the law. And when you're trying to fulfill the commandments of God and the law of Moses and the law of the prophets and so forth, if you're trying to do that, discipline yourself, then you're taking the place of Jesus Christ. Right. You're trying to do His job. It's always submit unto His Lordship and let Him accomplish it in you. Man, it's like Jesus said, of my own self, I can do nothing. Now, if He can't do anything of His own self, we're going to try to think we can. We're above Him. I think not. But He is the fulfillment. So Paul is telling Timothy here right in the first verse, he says, that God gives His commandment. And then in verse 5, the end of the fulfillment of the commandment is charity and a pure heart. This is why I have been made an apostle, Paul says, this is why God has been gracious to me to make me an apostle, is because this apostolic ministry, God doesn't do things without moving through people. I think we're beginning to understand that a little bit. The law is good if it is used lawfully. And the only way you can use the law lawfully is submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and let Him accomplish His will in you. He is the hope of glory. He is the anticipation, the expectation that we have of all fulfillment is in Him. Amen.